Bible Girl podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I've gathered my Bible, my journal, some study tools, and highlighters in every color for study time. From the practical to the inspirational, I pray that these podcasts give you the tools and motivation to be a Bible girl too. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm talking about dealing with setbacks in your life today. We're going to delve into a little four-step process I have for people to work through when they go through a difficulty, whether it's a defeat or unforeseen circumstances, whatever, you know, those things that kind of come into our lives suddenly and just jump us off the rails, so to speak, into a different path. How we handle those things really determines whether we're able to move forward from them. And so we're going to talk today about a couple of tips in dealing with setbacks. There is a great blessing. We tend to view them as a very negative thing, but there is a lot of value in setbacks, although, you know, we don't ask for them or deliberately try to create them. When they do happen, there is value, because if we handle them correctly, they can strengthen our resolve. They can confirm our values and clarify our vision. And when that happens, when we step back on track, so to speak, whether it's the same track that we had gotten knocked off of, or whether we change the path a little bit, wherever we head toward next, we are stronger because of the setback. I think that we've often seen these in our own lives, our own situations, how this happens, but we have to handle it correctly for that to happen. On its own, a setback just really just sends us somewhere we didn't want to go. But if we proactively go through it and look through each step of the process as we are in that situation, then we can begin to move forward in a way that is positive and that honors God and that is true to the values and the goals that we have set for our lives. So let's talk about this. Now, it's funny, when I wrote this down and just kind of put it out on paper, I realized that I made a little acronym with my four words here, and it's AARP. I want to state that even though, you know, we in churches love to have our points be acronyms and things that are easy to remember, this was entirely coincidental. And just because this sounds like something that would be applicable only to seniors, that is not the case. This AARP list here is just that way because those are the words I picked, and that's the order they're in. So it's kind of random, but I think hopefully it will help you remember it well. So this four-step process is to accept, affirm, reevaluate, and persist. And we're going to go through this step by step. I'm going to kind of talk you through it. But I want to kind of just tell you why this is on my heart this week and a little bit about my life right now, and I'll be using that in some of the situations that we're going to be talking about here as I go through these four steps with you. Back in the beginning, at the end of 2016, about halfway through December, my mom started having some trouble breathing and some chest pain. And over the course of a few hours in the ER, they determined it wasn't her heart. They weren't sure what it was, but she was breathing better and the pain had slowed down a bit. It wasn't as bad and tense. And they sent her home, and she went to her family doctor, got what she thought was a diagnosis, and began to take some medicine and kind of move forward. But that wasn't a very accurate diagnosis. And a few weeks later, toward the beginning of January, we ended up in the ER again and then checked into the hospital. And then 2 weeks later, she had another stay in the hospital for a few days and another long night sitting in the ER. And she's required a lot of care. She's not breathing really well, and she's required me to do a lot more for her than I normally do. And so that has given my schedule a bit of a shake up. My work schedule has been off because I've been at the hospital or home taking care of her and trying to do my job in the moments when she's asleep or in the evenings or wherever I can fit it in. It also means that my personal life's taken a little bit of a hit. I've had to not do some things that I would normally do with friends or events that I would participate in. And we all go through these times when these things happen. And so some of the things that really mattered to me and my life, things that I felt were valuable and important, they kind of took a little bit of a detour for the last few weeks as I've been dealing with these things. And as God has been working in my life in the past few months specifically about keeping in step with the Spirit and following the Spirit's leading, I have had to work through some of these things, realizing that just because I planned it and that's what I wanted to do doesn't mean that that's necessarily God's will for me in the moment. And so as I've been learning these things, I've been reminded of these steps that I have always followed whenever I go through something where I'm not able to do something the way I wanted or a goal of mine that I set out for myself has not been achievable because of something I didn't expect or something that just kind of popped up. So that's been on my heart a little bit as I've been thinking about, okay, so I can't do all of these things. I have limited time at this moment. What can I do? How do I decide where to go now? Do I just give up on all my goals or do I work through them and do them differently? And so as I've been working through this process in the last week specifically, as my mom has started doing a little better and I'm able to get a little breath and reevaluate some things, I've been working through these steps and I'm going to talk them through with you and occasionally give you a little example as we go. The first step is to accept. And this has kind of a two-part meaning. The first thing is that we have to accept that defeat, circumstances beyond our control, and unexpected detours, they're an expected part of life in a fallen world. We should expect that these things will happen. They shouldn't take us by surprise. I think it's James who, or maybe Peter, who I think it's James who writes that don't be surprised by the fiery trials that you have come into your life because these things are natural. There are things that are going to shake you up. We're all going to suffer with these times where we had our plans, but something else completely different happened. And you might have had a goal to get out to the gym and walk every day in 2017, but you didn't anticipate that three of your children would be sick with the flu at the same time, and just taking care of them, it takes all the energy that you have. We didn't plan for those things. We don't expect them to happen, but we should realize that they are an expected part of life, that the world we live in is imperfect, and there are things that come at us all the time that we can't anticipate or control. And so we have to accept that that's just a part of life. And I think when we are willing to do that and not take it personally, like the universe is out to get us or God isn't answering our prayers or however we tend to awfulize these things, we need to just realize that this is what happens in life. And this has happened to millions of people before me and will happen to millions of people after me unless the Lord returns and makes this everything perfect in this fallen world. So until that day, you know, these things are a reality of life. And so we accept them and we don't rail against them or be angry or frustrated because they are part of what it is to be human, to deal with these things. But also we need to accept, other than accepting the reality that we have, we also need to accept the grace that God offers anew every single day. Lamentations 3:23 tells us that God's mercies are new every morning and that his faithfulness to us is great. His kindness, his forgiveness, and his compassion never run out, and they're always at hand. They're ready for you at any moment of the day when you need them. And pretty much that's every moment. We need God's faithfulness and his kindness, his strength, his compassion. We need those things from him because we are weak. and he gladly and gracefully bestows them upon us. And it's not something like karma, what you put in, you get out. It's not like that at all. This is just given freely because God loves us and because that's his nature and his character. And so while we accept the fact that these things are going to happen and we're going to face setbacks in life, we also need to accept the grace that God offers each day and recognize that every day is full of God's grace and goodness and mercy to us. And once we've established that, the importance of this step is to put yourself in reality, okay, but also not be limited to the reality you can see. You know, that first part of accepting is what you see around you. Okay, things are not going well. This is not what I planned. This is not what I wanted. I did not expect this to come. Okay, that's our reality, and we acknowledge it. We recognize where we're at. But we also recognize that just because that's what we can see in front of us does not mean that that is all there is. There is more. There is a God who is on our side. There is a God who has a plan for our life, a good plan. And these setbacks are not a surprise to him. They came as a surprise to us, maybe, but they did not surprise him at all. He is not sitting in heaven shocked by this turn of events. He is prepared with everything that you need. And so we turn our reality to the truth that we can see and we acknowledge it, and to the truth that we cannot see. And we acknowledge that, that God is here, that God is good, that God is working all things out for our good, and that God has not left us alone. So once we've kind of grounded ourselves in a complete view of reality, then we kind of affirm, what we're doing, what our goal was, what we were working towards. And one of the things that has been difficult for me in this particular season, these last few weeks, is there's a little prayer I try to do at night where I am still before God and I let him speak to me, and I try to be aware of my day and what has happened throughout the day, and how God was in it, and where God was faithful and where I was obedient or disobedient. And I talk to God about those things. And that's kind of fallen by the wayside the last few weeks, because by the time I do finally get into bed, I'm so tired. I can't pray through it. I can't do it. Normally I can. In this season of life, I can't. So using that as a little bit of an example, and another good example to think of is so many people will set a plan. You know, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year. I'm going to read this reading plan, or I'm going to do this YouVersion reading plan, or this She Reads Truth Study. And you get 2 weeks into it and you have to work overtime for a couple of weeks at work, and just life gets out of control and you miss some days and you feel terrible about it, and you're ready to give up. This is where you need to do your accepting and then affirming. And what we're going to ask ourselves at this point is why did we choose this goal or this path or this action that's currently derailed? You know, why did God lead me to it in the first place? What was the desired outcome of this? You know, what was my goal? And is that goal still valid? Why did I pick that goal? What did I want to happen? And by affirming that, basically what you want to do is you want to have your goal, or whatever the setback area was, you want to have a sentence. You want to kind of come up with a sentence, and this will be really important for the next step, is that the sentence should include the goal or the pattern of behavior or the new habit or whatever it is that you were trying to establish or work toward that got derailed, whatever that was. You want to include what that is, and then why you wanted to do it. So it might say something like, I want to pray every morning before my kids get out of bed because it helps me love them with God's love and helps me be more patient and kind. So you need like the goal or the new habit or the step that you were working towards listed there, and then why. There should be a phrase that starts with the word because. I wanted to do this because. This is my goal because. So this is going to give you your why and your what, okay? This is what you're trying to do, and this is the why you're trying to do it. And let me just tell you, from someone who works in communication and does a lot with trying to persuade people to participate in things, your what needs to be clear and your why needs to be compelling. Okay, so your what really needs to be something that's super clear. This is exactly what I was going for. And this is the why. Okay, so in relationship to my prayer time at night that I've been struggling to do because I'm so tired, you know, I want this time of quiet prayer with God before bed. And the reason that I want that, my because statement, is because that helps me it helps me communicate with God and hear his voice. And it also helps me get rid of a lot of the stress that I carry around with me during the day. Okay, so that is my very long-winded affirmation statement there about what I'm trying to accomplish and why I'm trying to accomplish it. So once you get to that, once you've looked at your reality, you've looked at who God is, and you're clearly grounded in that truth, then you're going to kind of affirm what you're doing. Make sure it's clear in your mind again, and not just clear what you're trying to accomplish, but why. And then we're going to reevaluate it. And you're going to ask some questions here. Could I have done it differently? You know, did it fail because of me? Was it not a good plan? If I tweak it a bit, would it work better this time? Maybe has this unforeseen circumstance brought about some changes in my life? And so now I'm in a new phase of life or a new season of life. And that would require me to maybe revamp this a little bit. Maybe this is too much for this particular season of life that I've been thrust into because of this certain thing that happened. That's one of the things that, you know, I kind of had to come to an understanding of in the past few weeks, is that this particular situation is requiring more of me in other areas, and I'm limited. There's only so much any one human can do. And so for me to focus my attention somewhere new to deal with the immediate problem, there are some other areas in my life that are just not going to get the attention they deserve. And maybe that's just, you know, hopefully that's just temporary. We always have this idea in our minds that we can go back to the old way again. And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. But possibly this is, you know, just a temporary thing. And so in that case, you know, it's just the idea of, okay, this right now, for these few weeks, for this next month, I'm in this different season. And I need to tweak things a little bit because I can't do it that way, the way I planned right now because of this new season. Another question to ask is there another way that I can meet this goal that works better for my life? Okay. Now this is where your affirmation statement comes in. Okay. Because when you ask that question, you can look at the because statement. Okay. And you want to ask yourself, in the one example I gave you about praying in the morning before your kids get out of bed, the because statement is, it helps me love them with God's love and helps me be more patient and kind. Okay, so that's the because statement. So what else could accomplish that in your life at this time that might fit better? Maybe if you're in a situation where you're caring for an aging parent all of a sudden and you weren't expecting it, or maybe all, as I mentioned, the one example, all your kids have the flu at the same time and you're trying to squeeze out any little bit of sleep that you can. So whatever that situation is, that because statement can happen a different way. Is there a different way that I can accomplish this in a way that will work for this season of life and the circumstances that I'm currently in? And this is why I think we cannot skip that affirmation statement, that step, coming up with affirming what we're doing and the what and the why. Because the why is the goal. You know, what we're doing it for a specific reason. We often put the what as our goal, okay? So, if, for instance, for me, you know, my goal is I want to pray every night. before bed, and I want to do this, you know, quiet moments of being able to hear from God, not just talk to him, but hear from him. And this is important to me. But it isn't necessarily that that is important. It's just that at the moment, that is what I feel is bringing about that because statement. So if I can't do the what, how can I still accomplish the why? And there are some other ways I can do that. For instance, our dishwasher died back in the summer, and we have yet to do anything about it. And I've been hand washing dishes, and which I actually don't mind hand washing dishes so much. But when I get really busy, I do wish that I had a dishwasher. And lately, my pace of life has been a little hectic. And so as I've been doing the dishes in the evening, I have kind of used that as my time to talk to God and to pray. And I have found that it's not, you know, later in the evening at the end of my day, which is to me an ideal time to do this type of prayer, but it's certainly worth doing, even if I have to do it differently. And so I've been trying to do that in the evening when the dinner is done and everything's kind of quieted down a little bit. I can clean the kitchen and wash the dishes, and I talk to God then. And it is a time that I can hear from him in the mundane tasks of my evening. When my situation in life changes, when we get a dishwasher, or when my mom's health improves and I'm not doing as much for her, will I go back to the other way? Probably, because that was what worked best in that season of life. And when I go back to that, if God blesses and I'm able to in that way, then I would certainly do that. But for now, I can still accomplish the why with a different what. And I know that's a little long-winded explanation there, but I think this is really important. Just because you can't do it the way you did it before doesn't mean the intended result can't happen. You can still get that intended result. You just might need to do it a little differently to suit the life that you have at the moment. So we're going to accept what's going on in our lives and what God is doing in us and who God is. And we're going to ground ourselves in that reality. And then we're going to clarify our what and our why so that we know clearly what we're trying to accomplish and why it matters. And then once we've done that, we're going to reevaluate that. And we're going to make sure that we're doing it in the best way possible. We're going to tweak some things. We're going to maybe come up with a different what to help us accomplish that why. And we're going to kind of tweak things enough so that we can move on to the last step, which is to persist. This is just jump back in and try again. If you listen to my podcast at the beginning of 2017, when I talked about the idea of persistence and sticking with things, I mentioned that the only way you learn this skill is to practice it. Look at each of these setbacks that happen as an opportunity to grow in your ability to be persistent. Jump back in and give it another try. Tweak it a bit. Yes, we did that reevaluation. We made some changes as necessary, and now we're going to try again. A couple of things that would help you is to get help from a friend to pray for you and to encourage you. One of the greatest blessings that has come out of all of the chaos of my life in the last few weeks has been the great number of friends and fellow believers who have rallied around me and encouraged me. And they bring me meals, and they offer to drive my mom to doctor visits, and they stop by and just come to visit and encourage. I've been blessed by people who came along beside me. Luckily, because I'm in a terrific small group at my church, and because I know so many very dear people who love the Lord, I didn't have to ask for help. But I think that many of us would get more help if we were willing to be vulnerable and be willing to say, look, I'm struggling with this right now. Could you help me? Maybe it is actual physical help. Maybe you need someone to help you carry the load. But oftentimes, the act of coming along beside someone in prayer is a big encouragement, and that ability to know that no matter what I'm going through right now, I'm not alone, that God is with me and his people have my back and they're on my side. And so I would encourage you to share what you're going through with someone who can be helpful to you and encourage you and pray for you. And another thing is make sure that you frame this, or kind of going full circle around to the beginning of the podcast, make sure you frame this setback as a necessary step to achieving your goals. We think that setbacks are negative, they're bad, but that is not necessarily true. In fact, I would say in most cases, setbacks are a great blessing because they really clarify things, and they give you, if you do this, if you work through this, these steps, and you jump back into the problem and you persist through the difficulty and continue to chase your why, regardless of how you have to tweak your what, if you're willing to do that, this, you will look back later and see that as being something that was instrumental to reaching your why. It seems kind of counterintuitive that those derailments would actually help us reach the goal, but I think just about any person who has been through something traumatic or something unexpected in life and has had to weather it can look back, if they have been able to stop and really accept the truth and affirm where they're headed and reevaluate how they're going to get there, and then jump back in and try it, they will say that that was where the tide turned. So don't give up. Just because your why seems difficult, or just because your why seems unattainable, because you're still focused too greatly on the what, don't stop. Work through these steps and get back on track. I'm talking about this today partly because it's been on my mind a lot as I've been trying to apply these own principles, but also because this is about the time of year that lots of people who start Bible reading plans in January, they fail. Because by the middle of February, life has done something. Something has come up. Something that was difficult for them. Something that made them rethink their commitment. Something that made them think they can't do it. Or maybe it wasn't a worthwhile goal after all. These things are natural, as we've said. They happen in life. And this is about the time when most people have given up on their New Year's resolutions. Don't consider your setbacks to be failure. They are an opportunity. And they are a great opportunity with a great value if you're willing to approach them with the right attitude. I hope this has been a help for you. Know that persistence pays off, but it requires work. It requires practice, and it requires all we have to give. So remember, accept, affirm, reevaluate, and persist. I pray that God will bless you this week, that you will hear his voice, and that you will look to his word for guidance and help. And remember, Bible Girl is here, and I can help you with things that you need help with. If you'd like to talk about something, make sure you jump onto our Facebook group. You can put prayer requests in our monthly prayer posts, and I would love to pray for you if you are experiencing some setbacks in your life right now. So drop by, leave a prayer request, and I'll be sure to pray. Thanks for listening. Go to BibleGirlPodcast.com to email me, download show notes, sign up for my newsletter, print the monthly scripture writing lists, and listen to past episodes. Join the Bible Girl Facebook group to get the latest podcast news and to interact with me and other listeners. I'm all over social media as Jessie L. Robinson. That's J-E-S-S-I-L Robinson. I'd love for you to friend or follow me. Join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.